you still like yourself.
Well, good morning and welcome to the front page. I'm Dara Starr Tucker, and this is your morning meditation. That was the voice, of course, of one Miss Toni Morrison, who has been a very, very loud voice in favor of women's liberation, women's rights. We are celebrating Women's History all month long. This is the final day of Women's History Month. I think we're going to probably extend this just a few more days. We're going to take our liberty and continue to celebrate women for the remainder of this week. But this is a really interesting quote by Toni Morrison. What are we without our strongly held beliefs? Are you what you believe about yourself? She spoke there about the concept of race and how some people take that on as their entire identity. People who deal in racism take that on as who they are, not understanding that it is all construct. It is all construct, and you have built an entire identity. You have built all of your self-worth on this idea of there being a hierarchy, of there being superiority based on race, when it is really all just a house of cards. It is not really a biological reality. And I think when it comes to race, when it comes to, I would say, some of our religious beliefs, many of our beliefs around a lot of things that we hold dear, is there a deeper consciousness under the surface? Are we those beliefs, or are we the consciousness under the surface? That deeper conscience is tied to your values and your character and your essence. Your beliefs, your belief system about who you are is often taught. And by that token, should always be questioned. It should always be questioned. It is not the core and the essence of who you are. And many of us never move forward because we are unable to make that distinction between our belief system and the core and the essence of who we are as individuals. So this is my invitation to you to more deeply inquire about who you really are, beyond all of these layers. I call them the onion layers that society has placed on us. Beliefs can be challenged. They should be challenged because they can change. If you believe one thing on Monday and you learn something new on Tuesday, it is okay to believe something different on Wednesday. But the core and the essence of who you are is something that is ultimately unchangeable. So let's understand and remember that our essence is really something quite removed from our beliefs this morning. And that is your morning meditation for this Monday, the 31st of March. Coming up, we've got one of the classic protest songs from the early 70s. We want to celebrate this final day of Women's History. As I said, we're going to extend this out through the rest of the week. I think we've got another good week in us. This is Radio Free 102.3 FM, KGLH, and I'm Dara Starr Tucker. Your headlines are on the way in a few short minutes. Right now, here's Marvin Gaye with What's Going On.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
like,
dig it.
Stop it.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh,
can't see.
The front page morning headlines.
Well, good morning. I'm Dara Starr Tucker, and here are your morning's headlines. Donald Trump voiced anger Sunday at Russian President Vladimir Putin for comments he made about Ukraine and its president, Volodymyr Zelensky. In an early Sunday morning phone interview with NBC News, Trump was referencing comments Putin made Friday about temporarily putting Ukraine under external governance. Trump said he was angry, pissed off when Putin started getting into Zelensky's credibility. Putin repeated his claim that Zelensky, whose term expired last year, lacks the legitimacy to sign a peace deal. Under Ukraine's constitution, it is illegal for the country to hold national elections while it's under martial law. Nonetheless, Trump reiterated that he and Putin have a very good relationship. And later Sunday in comments to reporters on Air Force One, he shifted some of his criticism to Zelensky. The U.S. has been pushing for a comprehensive ceasefire deal between Russia and Ukraine to peacefully end their three-year war. Russia has effectively rejected a U.S. proposal for an immediate and full 30-day halt in the fighting, and the feasibility of a partial ceasefire on the Black Sea was thrown into doubt after Kremlin negotiators imposed far-reaching conditions. Trump's comments on Putin come weeks after intense pressure on Ukraine to agree to a ceasefire. The AP News is reporting that the Prime Minister of Greenland pushed back Sunday against assertions by Donald Trump that America will take control of the island country. Greenland, a huge resource-rich island in the Atlantic, is a self-governing territory of Denmark, a NATO ally of the United States. Trump wants to annex the territory, claiming that it's needed for national security purposes. President Trump said that the United States will get Greenland. Let me be clear, the United States will not get it. We do not belong to anyone else. We decide our own future, Jens Frederik Nielsen said in a Facebook post. Nielsen's post comes a day after the U.S. president told NBC News that military force was not off the table with regard to acquiring Greenland. In Saturday's interview, Trump allowed that, "I think there's a good possibility that we could do it without military force." He added, "This is world peace. This is international security. I don't take anything off the table." Greenland's residents and politicians have reacted with anger to Trump's repeated suggestions, with Danish leaders also pushing back. Trump also said, "I don't care," when asked in the NBC interview what message this would send to Russian President Vladimir Putin, who has invaded Ukraine and annexed several of its provinces in defiance of international law. Donald Trump threatened Iran on Sunday with bombing and secondary tariffs if Tehran did not come to an agreement with Washington over its nuclear program, Reuters is reporting. In Trump's first remarks since Iran rejected direct negotiations with Washington last week, he told NBC News that U.S. and Iranian officials were talking but did not elaborate. "If they don't make a deal, there will be bombing," Trump said in a telephone interview. It will be bombing, the likes of which they have never seen before. "There's a chance that if they don't make a deal, that I will do secondary tariffs on them like I did 4 years ago," he added. Iran sent a response through Oman to a letter from Trump urging Tehran to reach a nuclear deal, saying its policy was not to engage in direct negotiations with the United States while under its maximum pressure campaign and military threats, Tehran's foreign minister was quoted saying on Thursday. Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian reiterated the policy on Sunday. Direct negotiations with the U.S. have been rejected, but Iran has always been involved in indirect negotiations. And now, too, the Supreme Leader has emphasized that the indirect negotiations can still continue, he said, referring to Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. In the NBC interview, Trump also threatened so-called secondary tariffs, which affect buyers of a country's goods on both Russia and Iran. He signed an executive order last week authorizing such tariffs on buyers of Venezuelan oil. Speaking to reporters later on Sunday on Air Force One, Trump said that he is going to make a decision on the secondary tariffs based on whether Tehran makes a deal. In his first 2017 to 2021 term, Trump withdrew the U.S. from a 2015 deal between Iran and world powers that placed strict limits on Tehran's disputed nuclear activities in exchange for sanctions relief. Donald Trump says Wednesday will be, quote, Liberation Day, a moment when he plans to roll out a set of tariffs that he promises will free the United States from foreign goods, AP News is reporting. The details of Trump's next round of import taxes are still sketchy. Most economic analyses say average U.S. families would have to absorb the cost of his tariffs in the form of higher prices and lower incomes. But an undeterred Trump is inviting CEOs to the White House to say they are investing hundreds of billions of dollars in new projects to avoid the import taxes. It is also possible that the tariffs are short-lived if Trump feels he can cut a deal after imposing them. At stake are family budgets, America's prominence as the world's leading financial power, and the structure of the global economy. In community news, Ready to Care, in collaboration with Bags of Blessings, announces the upcoming Rise and Heal Wellness Event, a transformative gathering dedicated to supporting African-American women and other women of color impacted by the Eden Canyon fires in Altadena, California, earlier this year. This intimate and empowering event takes place on Saturday, April 26, 2025, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Holy Assembly Church, 55 East Billa Street, Pasadena, California, 91103. Organized by community leader and social justice advocate Lakeisha Redd, founder of Ready to Care and Bags of Blessings, the Wellness Experience will host 25 to 30 attendees, specifically addressing the emotional trauma, displacement, and life challenges resulting from the devastating fires. Rise and Heal currently seeks sponsors, donors, volunteers, and resource vendors to amplify its impact. To sign up, sponsor a seat, volunteer, or become a vendor, please visit their dedicated event page at www.givebutter.com/riseandheal. Or call Lakeisha Redd, founder of Ready to Care, at 909-267-0417. And lastly, discover the untold stories from LA's leading ladies of radio as Women's History Month wraps up. Radio Free 102.3 KJLH brings you our Between Sisters podcast series, revealing the never-before-heard journeys of Tammy Mack, Adé Lamar, Dara Starr Tucker, and Cameron Green. Experience their ups, downs, and funny moments in life and career. Hear the powerful voices behind the microphone and explore the full stories at KJLHradio.com or at Radio Free KJLH across all social platforms. And those are your headlines for this Minority Business Monday, the 31st of March. Coming up, we've got a new crop of minority business owners for you. You know what we do every Monday. We bring in a brand new group of folks who are investing in their community, folks who are giving you options beyond supporting the next billionaire who's going to place those record profits. We provide them right back into the hands of a bunch of shareholders and wealthy board members. We are promoting something a little bit different here on the Front Page. We are encouraging you to reinvest that money into small business owners right here in your own communities. We're always excited to turn the spotlight on these entrepreneurs every Monday. And of course, we want to thank our producer, Danny Morrison, for all the work that he puts into assembling these business owners here at the station every Monday. We could not do this show without him. You're listening to The Front Page on Radio Free 102.3 FM, KJLH. My name is Dara Starr Tucker, and we will be right back on the other side of this break with our first minority business owner right after this.
The Front Page on 93 KJLH. Feel the power in your hands. The Radio Free 102.3 KJLH app.
One destination for my station.
Brings the world to your fingertips.
Get the app now.
Get breaking news. Share your voice on open mic. And jam to the sweetest sounds 24/7.
The app is where it's at.
Download the KJLH app now.
Listen to the radio on the app.
And let the music of life flow through your soul.
Working smoke alarms can cut the risk of death from home fires in half. That's why the American Red Cross is rallying volunteers to sound the alarm. Save a life. Together, we're installing free smoke alarms in South Los Angeles at Crenshaw Christian Center on April 5th from 8 a.m. till 2 p.m. Red Cross services are available for all those in need, regardless of race, ethnicity, age, religion, gender identity, sexual orientation, ability, and citizenship status. Call 310-445-9914 to request a smoke alarm installation today.
Hey, it's Steve Harvey, y'all. Here's what happened on the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You ain't no bachelor if you 61.
What are you?
No, don't nobody want you. You ain't no bachelor.
He says he has three girlfriends.
No, he got three people come by check on him. Them ain't his girlfriend. Who told this man them was his girlfriend? They send people that they work with the county. Them ain't your girlfriend. Them is social service people.
Have a great weekend. More crazy laughs, news, and traffic Monday morning with the Steve Harvey Morning Show and me, Adele Lamar, on 102.3 KJLH.
Hey, everybody. This is Andre Russell.
Andre Russell.
And I know what you want to hear on Sunday, and I play it for you.
Make some noise and hey!
Great artists like Kirk Franklin, Mary Mary, Jonathan McReynolds, Marvin Sapp, Fred Hammond, and I got it for you on Spread the Word every Sunday.
Every Sunday. From 12 noon to 6 p.m.
Cutting-edge gospel artists and the leading ministers from around the world. And Bible Jeopardy, where you can win prizes. Get ready for it every Sunday and spread the word. From 12 to 6, right here on 102.3 KJLH.
Wake up. This is The Front Page. On Radio Free, 102.3 KJLH. Here's Dara Star Tucker.
Well, good morning and welcome back to The Front Page. I'm Dara Star Tucker, and we are in the midst of another Minority Business Monday. We have a group of minority business owners here in the studio with us today who are going to tell us all about what they're getting into and the ways in which they are enriching their community and hopefully bringing some wealth and prosperity into their own lives and the lives of their own families. Our first minority business owner today is Books by Dana Freelichs, who has a book called 10 Things Every Girl Must Believe. I'll tell you a little bit about Dana before we speak to her today. Dana Freelichs is a Southern California native with a passion for helping young girls boldly walk in their God-given identity. Her newly released children's book, 10 Things Every Girl Must Believe, helps girls between the ages of 3 to 8 see themselves through the powerful and perfect lens of God. She is also the author of Divinely Defined, a 30-day women's devotional designed to help women shed the residue of life circumstances and embrace the truth of who they are in Christ. Dana is a wife and mother of three beautiful children who keep her on the go. Just when she thinks she's seen all that Southern California has to offer, she can thank a volleyball or basketball game for reminding her that there is always more to discover. Her newest release can be found on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and other online book retailers. So welcome, Dana Freelichs, to Minority Business Monday on The Front Page.
Good morning. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
We're so glad to have you. I want to ask you out front, where can folks find you? Because I'm sure after they hear you talk about what it is you do that they'll want to be able to find your books online. So can you give us your socials or your website?
Sure. So I can be found at www.danabooksbydanafreelichs.com. My books are also on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and any online book retailer.
Okay, so that's DanaFreelix.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Books by DanaFreelix.com.
Yes.
And then your Instagram is Books by DanaFreelix.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, what inspired me? I'm looking at just a gorgeous book that you've written for children called 10 Things Every Girl Must Believe. What inspired you to write this book?
So this is the second of two books that I've written. My platform and everything I do is all about encouraging women and children to understand their God-given identity. So my first book, Divinely Defined, was a women's devotional to help them just shed the residue of life circumstances and really to put on their God-given identity. And I have two daughters, ages 14 and 9. And as a mom of daughters, it's so important for me to know that they are equipped with the real understanding of who they are outside of anything that this world has to offer. So as I watched them grow and mature, I thought, you know what, it's time for them to understand who they are. And not only them, but just girls at large. And so it was just really a burden on my heart as I just, you know, just see young girls out and social media and just all of the things that they are bombarded with that are outside their God-given identity. Mm-hmm. So it was just really a passion for me to put that message in poetry form and put it in a book and then let them see who they are, you know, through the visuals. So I have an African-American character and so girls of color.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at the book here and the illustrations are gorgeous. They are by Kieran Akram.
Yes.
And they're just such gorgeous illustrations of this little black girl here who is doing her little devotionals and making her little confessions. Can you read me there? You've basically got a little devotional for maybe just like once a day.
Yes.
You'll sit down and read this with your daughter. You said ages 3 to 8. Can you choose one of these devotionals and just read this for us? Like I said, the illustrations are just beautiful. I can't imagine any 3 to 8 year old not loving this. I would have loved it as a child. Oh,
thank you so much.
So yeah, can you choose one to read for us this morning?
Yes, I'm going to choose I Am Unique.
Okay.
And it is as follows. UNIQUE, there's no one in the world quite like me. I've got my own look and personality to match. I'm a one-of-a-kind girl, a true gem. That's a fact. I'm a perfect me. Yes, indeed, it's true. I'll be the best me while you be the best you. And, you know, the reason is I'm so glad that you asked me to read one of my favorites because this was written, well, I wrote this many years ago, but I have a neighbor across the street and her mom got the book for a young lady and this was her favorite. And it blessed me so much when this lady is, I think maybe 60 plus, she memorized this and she said, this is what I love because it reminds me of me.
Yeah.
And I want little girls to know that it's okay to be who you are.
Yeah.
You're not going to look like the girl across the desk from you, or you're not going to look like the girl up and down the street, but you are who you are. And God fearfully and wonderfully created you, you know? And so embrace that uniqueness because it is who you were meant to be in the earth. And so,
Yeah,
I love it.
We are talking with Dana Freelix of books by Dana Freelix, and she has written basically a little devotional, I would say, for young girls from ages 3 to 8 called 10 Things Every Girl Must Believe. And again, you know, when I was growing up, I mean, we could barely find little black Barbie dolls. It was a very kind of unusual thing. I remember there being a little doll called Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
And she came out when I was a kid, and it was just the most amazing thing. I got to see a Barbie doll that looked like me, but for little girls to be able to sift through these pages and see these gorgeous little curly-haired, brown-skinned girls that look just like them who are reiterating these positive messages. I mean, it's so important. Why is it that you chose to gear a book like this, a little devotional like this, two girls specifically from the ages of 3 to 8, what's happening at that point in a little girl's life?
Well, I'll just start with myself. I struggled, you know, growing up, understanding who I was in Christ. And so I defined myself by my accomplishments, by my failures, and also by the opinions of others. And that was detrimental for me. It caused me to make decisions that were not healthy for me, you know, or even along the path that God wanted me to travel. And so, you know, as an adult realizing that, I said, wow, how would my life have been, or how would I've made better choices if I knew this stuff that I'm learning now as a young child? And so that became my mission, to equip because it really is equipping these little girls with such powerful knowledge about who they really are. Mm-hmm. You know, before they even are tempted to define themselves by anything that they see on television or any words that anyone speaks to them, if they have that knowledge now, well, then they're okay. They'll be okay, you know, because they know that it comes from nothing that this world has to offer. And it's purely from their relationship with the Lord and what he says about them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I was just at I traveled to Nashville, where I lived for a very long time this weekend. And I was just at the dedication of my niece, who's 2 years old.
Okay.
So I am going to get one of these books from you this morning. I'm going to purchase one for my little 2-year-old niece. I think she's probably old enough to have one of these read to her,
yes.
I'm assuming. So how did you decide in terms of content? Because we have, different themes. So God loves me. I am kind. I am talented. Mm-hmm. These are the different titles of the little devotionals. I am forgiven. How did you decide thematically what you were going to include in these books? I belong to God is another theme.
You know, everything that I do when I write, I also have a blog, but everything that I do as far as speaking or writing, I always pray. And so I ask the Holy Spirit to let me know what are the top things that these little girls need to know. And so through prayer, those were the things that came up. I just felt like the Lord was leading me to those specific titles for the girls. And so I just began to write. So for me, it really is just it's almost like a worship where I just sit in the presence of the Lord and ask him and I hear and I just write. And so that's how those came about. And like I said, I wrote these poems over 10 years ago. And I tried to get this book published a long time ago, but it wasn't until within the last year and a half that I was really able to make it happen. Yeah. And I believe timing is everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like such a time as this it's time for this book to come out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. We're talking to Dana Freelix of Books by Dana Freelix about her brand new book, 10 Things Every Girl Must Believe. It is a devotional for little girls between the ages of 3 to 8 and just gives such wonderfully positive messages. I want to ask you before we end our conversation this morning, Dana, what was the biggest challenge to even getting a book like this published? You said it took you a while and you wrote these a long time ago and now this is just coming to the forefront. What was the biggest challenge in actually getting this out there?
Oh my gosh, it was finding the right illustrator. It took a long time, for me to find someone who I felt could mirror images to the words that were in this book. And so I waited. It was really frustrating to tell you the truth. But it wasn't until I found Kieran that I said, you know what? I sent her the notes of what I was looking for. And it was like she already knew.
Wow.
You know, she already knew. And it was so important for me to have little girls of color.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's just a gorgeous book.
Thank you.
And I would agree that the images go perfectly with the messages. So I think, the timing of it often is just God ordained and there's not anything you can do to force it.
Yes.
So it came together beautifully. Dana Freelix, who has written 10 Things Every Girl Must Believe, please tell us where folks can find this book and find out more about what you do, because you've done devotionals for adults also, for women as well.
So my books can be found at my website, which is www.booksbydanafreelix.com. Or you can find 10 Things Every Girl Must Believe on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or any online book retailer.
Okay, so Dana Freelix, 10 Things Every Girl Must Believe. And what is your Instagram?
@ Books by Dana Freelix.
Freelix.
Right.
Okay, yes. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dana Freelix. Like I said, I'm going to take one of these home with me. You let me know how much it's going to be. I'm going to send it to my niece today.
Thank you
so much for being here on the front page.
You're so welcome.
We have more minority business owners coming up this Minority Business Monday. You all stay tuned. We're going to take a very brief break. We'll have another song for you that reflects on our morning meditation, and we are going to be back right after this.
102.3 KJLH Compton, Los Angeles, and worldwide using the Radio Free KJLH mobile app.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be
the heavens. No man, no weapon formed against. Yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh. Now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish, and then when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh glory, oh, oh. We'll cry glory, oh glory, oh.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win the war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes,
the Front Page on Radio Free 102.3 KJLH.
City of Hope, we're more than just a top-ranked cancer hospital. For over 100 years, we've been making breakthroughs, pushing the limits of what's possible, targeting cancer at the molecular level, pioneering treatments used worldwide, discovering success in treating all types and stages of cancer. When cancer is the question, City of Hope is the answer. This is Hope, City of Hope. Learn more at cityofhope.org.
For all of us, this generation and the next, there's simply no place in our lives for litter. And yet, it's everywhere we look. And unfortunately, it does belong to all of us. So let's come together and create a litter-free, clean California once and for all. Remember to properly dispose of your trash and recycling. Secure truckloads and tarps to keep debris from flying out. Clean out your car when you're at a gas station. Take pride in your community by organizing a cleanup event or join a cleanup event near you. Zero litter is the goal. Join us at cleanca.com. That's cleanca.com. Let's do it together. Brought to you by Caltrans. cleanca.com. Zero litter is the goal.
Hey, it's Steve Harvey, y'all. Here's what happened on the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You ain't no bachelor if you 61.
What are you?
No, don't nobody want you. You ain't no bachelor.
He says he has three girlfriends.
No, he got three people come by. Check on him. Them ain't his girlfriend. Who told this man that was his girlfriend? They send people that they work with the county. Them ain't your girlfriend. Them is social service people.
Have a great weekend. More crazy laughs, news, and traffic Monday morning with the Steve Harvey Morning Show and me, Adele Lamar, on 102.3 KJLH.
Agree to disagree.
Say what you want to say.
This is The Front Page
with Darstar Tucker.
Radio Free 102.3.
Say what you want to say.
KJLH. Well, good morning and welcome back to The Front Page. If y'all know what goes on every morning here with this song, this is our body roll song. I'm happy to say we got a significant amount of movement from Daddy. It may not have actually been body rolls, but there was movement. So we are improving day by day. Here on Minority Business Monday, I am so glad to say we have another wonderful minority business owner here in studio with us, Shaw, the notary of Nimble Notary Services. And Shaw says, I am dedicated to serving my community one stamp at a time. Hello, I am Shaw. Please help me.
Shaw Quinay.
My name is butchered every day, and it only has four letters, so I really am empathetic. Shaquane McLemore, owner of Nimble Notary Services. We provide mobile notary services currently specializing in general notary, real estate closing, and assist with estate planning documents. This business came about during the pandemic while I was a preschool teacher and a mom who was relearning financial literacy and knew a side hustle was needed, especially living in California. So why choose us? We have the ability to travel to our clients at their convenience, walk them through the information needed to complete their appointment, and we do all of this while ensuring accuracy, professionalism, and trust with every transaction. We know that life is full of ups and downs. We also know that you or someone you know may need a legal document notarized, which can ultimately help the community as a whole. How, do you ask? By providing free notary services to those who were affected by the LA fires, partnering with other organizations to sponsor events, and organically generating career opportunities in the very near future. This moment is a stepping stone in the legacy of this business. So if you see a stamp or hear the word notary, think of Nimble Notary Services. Well, welcome Shaw, the notary, to the front page.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Well, what inspired you to start notary service? I know you said that you needed a side hustle. Why notary services?
Well, it was something I was on Facebook and I seen an ad for becoming a signing service business owner. And I was like, well, I guess I can try that. My aunt was a notary. I really didn't know anything about a notary prior to that. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, well, I'll do the steps. I'll do the training and take the course and go from there. And at the time, the real estate market was booming. So I got in and I was like, okay, this is a lot of experience very fast, but I was ready for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for those who are unfamiliar with what a notary is, can you explain what that is and why it is important?
Yes. So a notary, we basically verify the identification of the people signing the documents, just an added layer of protection against fraud, against identity theft. And these are for legal binding documents. You have real estate closings, someone that's refinancing a home, new purchases, or if they're doing something with estate planning as far as healthcare directives, which are important, or trust, building a trust. Every one of those documents needs to have a notary signature on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's going to need a notary in their life. If you have any sort of contract that is being signed, at some point, you're going to need notary services. So what makes Nimble Notary Services different from other notary businesses?
Well, the one thing that I am going to use an example of, people go to their favorite restaurant and you think about your experience of your customer service. You think about the food. You think about, it was a whole experience when you walk in. I said, well, I want to do that with my notary business. I want the expectation and the customer service to be there. If someone needs a notary, I want to be there. And if I'm not there, then I'm giving them the resources to get their documents done.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you said you do mobile notary services. So in other words, you go to clients. And how does that differ from traditional notary services?
Yes, being mobile, I'm able to be at the client's convenience. Everybody works, everybody has different scheduling. Life is 24 hours, and I want to be able to be there for my clients if they need it, whether it's after work, before work, again, anytime that they need. And I have a storefront where we can go, but people travel. Soccer games, I can pull up and notarize a document if needed. Being the convenience of being mobile helps the client a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you mentioned something in your bio. We're talking to Shaw, the mobile notary of Nimble Notary Services. You mentioned something in your bio about helping folks that were affected by the LA fires. Can you talk to me about what inspired that and kind of what that's been like for you?
Yes, I'm actually working, I partnered with another notary who kind of trailblazed Helping Hands Notary Service. And so we, seen the need of helping, the documents are there, they're going to need it. And a lot of people are misplaced and everything. So just helping the community kind of get back on foot, I want to help out in any way possible. And I said, well, how do I help out my notary business? What can I do to help that?
Wow. And how has that been going for you? What kinds of experiences have you been having around that?
It's been such a grateful experience because anyone I come in contact with, I'm able to not only help, and as long as I'm giving a resource to the next person, I'm here for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you say, Shaw, the notary, what would you say are some qualities that would make a good notary public?
Well, since I've been in this field, I've come into so many people that either they used to be a notary or they know someone that was a notary or they're getting back into it. It's all about being able to but being available when the time is needed. You really don't know you need a notary until you need a notary.
Right.
And so just being readily available is, I feel like, number one. And then two, knowing the documents that, you are signing or what you have, the documents that you need. Knowing how to prepare the documents and everything, because that's important. I don't want to be a notary out here that's just kind of signing documents and people are not able to fund their home. I want to be on the other side. I want to help people. I've seen someone purchase their first home and I was the notary for that.
Wow.
So being a part of that experience, that's something I cherish.
Yeah, that's really cool. You've talked about relearning financial literacy. How has that knowledge influenced your business approach?
Definitely looking at finances. If I need to do anything with my business, it's going to have to, it has to look right. I have to cross all my T's and dot all my I's. Mm-hmm. And so this business has made me look at not only my business, learning business, finance, but also working on my personal as well.
Yeah.
And just spreading the message of like, hey, if we want to build generational wealth, what does that look like? We have to start with knowing our finances.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know a lot of people are looking for ways, as you said, to build generational wealth and earn extra income. How can becoming a notary help them achieve that?
Oh, because it's so flexible. I love the flexibility. I know part-time notaries. I know full-time notaries. I know people that do it only on the weekends. It's kind of, you pick your own schedule and you can work around that. That's the one thing I do love.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Shaw, the notary, can you let folks know where they can find you and how they can utilize your services? Nimble Notary Services?
Yes, Nimble Notary Services, NimbleNotaryLA.com, and we're on Instagram, NimbleNotaryLA.
NimbleNotaryLA.com. And then Instagram is at Nimble Notary LA.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, Shaw, the notary, I want to thank you so much for coming in and being a part of Minority Business Monday. I'm sure a lot of folks, especially around tax season, are going to be needing your services. So, yeah, you all please do reach out to her. Once more, give us the Instagram.
Instagram, Nimble Notary LA. Nimble Notary LA.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Shaw, the notary, for being here with us on Minority Business Monday. And you got a shout out that you want to give this
yes,
morning.
Yes, I do. Today is my daughter's 6th birthday.
Aww.
So I want to say happy birthday, Quinn. I'm so thankful to have you. Today is also the day that we lost Nipsey Hussle. So I have a blessing out of everything. And I'm thankful for everything.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really cool. And we're being reminded by our engineer Bobo at the board that you should probably spell your Instagram, spell your website for us. Because sometimes, okay. Folks get a little twisted up on the radio if they can't see it.
That's Nimble, NIMBLE, Notary, NOTARYLA. Nimble Notary LA.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, Shaw, the notary, for being with us here on Minority Business Monday.
Thank you so much.
The best of success to you and everything that you do. Well, we're going to have our next minority business owner join us this morning. She is Nina Walker of Nina's Organics. Malvina Walker, affectionately known as Nina, hails from Compton, California. In 2016, after many years of suffering from eczema, a dermatological skin condition, which was unsuccessfully treated by prescription medicine, Nina decided that she wanted to create an organic, plant-based solution to resolve her ailment. Soon after, her husband, Paul, was diagnosed with diabetes and was placed on prescription medication. Not only did Paul's medication have multiple side effects, it was not solving Paul's condition. That broke everybody up here in studio. Her husband.
That was a husband.
You know, if Bo hears a term that he don't know, he's going to call you out on it. Not only did Paul's medication have multiple side effects, you know what a husband is, Paul. That, unlike throwing out the baby with the bathwater, that should be self-explanatory. Not only did Paul's medication have multiple side effects, it was not solving Paul's condition and could lead to additional complications that compromised his quality of life. Nina devoted herself to investigating the causes of both eczema and diabetes. And after several years of intensive research and personal challenges, she successfully formulated naturally based creams and oils that resolved her eczema and created an alternative treatment for Paul's diabetes. Wow. Today, Nina's Organics is fast becoming a successful wellness boutique, complete with plant-powered products that consist of over 70 unique items. Products include X-Balm, CBD oil, Balm of Gilead, Lymph Detox, and Hair Growth Stimulator, to name a few. All products are 100% plant-based. So welcome Nina Walker of Nina's Organics to the front page on Minority Business Monday.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Bo, you have anything else you want to get off your chest?
I'm fine. I just never heard it before. Like, husband.
It's a $25 word for X.
There it is.
Bo learns something new every day here.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
He's
throwing
very
babies out in bathwater.
Husband.
Husband, yeah.
Thank you for educating us, Miss Nina Walker, this morning.
Today in the front page class.
So, Nina, what inspired you to start Nina's Organics, and how did your kind of personal health journey shape this brand?
It all started when I was 50 years old, and I'm starting to think about retirement. I'm thinking, you know, with all the politics, things are going to be changing. I'm not going to be able to afford to buy certain things. So I decided to start with a skin condition that I had, which is called eczema. Mm-hmm. I have not found a cure for it, but I found that the most toxic element of the creams that I was given contained petroleum jelly.
Mm.
We call it Vaseline.
Mm-hmm.
It's toxic. It's made from plastic, the derivative, when you break the word down, petroleum, petrol.
Mm-hmm.
So you're rubbing gasoline on your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it really didn't help. All it did was thin my skin over time.
Mm.
So I started doing research to find out what else could I blend something with. And I came up with shea coconut and mango butter.
Mm.
And then I found the other oils that would resolve different elements of the eczema. I combined them all. I am the test person. Mm-hmm. I tested on me or even my family, and it worked. And so I made about 200 samples, and I started handing them out. The people came back quickly because it worked. It mm-hmm. resolved it.
Mm-hmm.
Resolved it, meaning it stopped the itching. It reduced the swelling, the flare-ups. And then I did more research and found out what it is based on a trigger. There's something that you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get to the root of that, then you can design something that's going to help alleviate that.
Absolutely. So where do you even begin to address eczema when you say, well, I want to find a plant-based solution and something that works better than these chemicals or plastic-based products that folks have been using? Where do you even begin to decide what products or what ingredients would best address that?
Trial and error. And then I remember I had breast cancer several years ago, stage 2 and then stage 4. What helped me get through that were three individuals: God, Dr. Sabi, and my oncologist.
Mm.
And Dr. Sabi said, you can't go over it, under it, or around it. The only way is through it.
Mm.
So I began thinking about the different things he gave me to help me with that. And there were times where he gave me a bag of, it looked like weeds. He would say, steep it and drink it. I'm like, well, what the heck is this? He said, just steep it and drink it.
Mm.
I did. I didn't lose as much of my hair. I wasn't as irritable. Back then, he was able to write a prescription for marijuana. I'm not a weed smoker.
Mm-hmm.
Not knocking those that are, but it just doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't take it, but I found that once you formulate it, by formulated, I mean you would steep it and you would take the extract from that and blend it into the shea coco mango butter, along with several other essential oils, that it did stop the itching and the swelling of the mm-hmm. eczema.
Yeah. And you mentioned dealing with your ex-husbands. I'm not going to say the word again because I don't want to get both started again.
I'm fine now.
You're good. Your husband's diabetes. And what sort of approach have you taken in addressing, or did you take in addressing that? I mean, what does that involve in terms of holistic healing for diabetes?
They placed him on a prescription drug. Can I say the name?
Mm-hmm.
Metformin.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of side effects with that, and that would compromise his quality of life.
Mm.
So I found the CBD plant, which mm-hmm. is a derivative of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that plant. I blended that with peppermint, and I had him take 2 drops of that in the morning, 2 drops in the evening. Then I decided to change his diet.
Mm.
And once the combination of those two things, his blood sugar went down. We went back for a checkup in 6 months. Blood sugar went way down. Then we instilled the change in diet. Once we did that, it was lowered even more.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. We're talking with Nina Walker of Nina's Organics, who has developed natural remedies, holistic approaches to dealing with ailments like eczema and diabetes. Now, you said you have over 70 plant-based products. Can you talk to me about some of your best sellers and kind of what their benefits are?
There are two. For hair, for example, those are Scalp Therapy and Rose Moist Locks. Scalp Therapy consists of 28 different essential oils, some of which I make myself. We infuse them with aloe vera gel.
Mm-hmm.
So we use the aloe vera gel in place of the water, vitamin E. We blend them together, and they stimulate the hair follicle. Mm-hmm. When the hair follicle is stimulated, then the hair can grow. It's not going to grow overnight. It's not something that you put on today and a week later you've got 5 new inches of hair. Mm-hmm. It typically takes 21 days for the hair to grow. Mm-hmm. But a lot of my clients that had hair breakage, alopecia, they've been using that along with another product, my alopecia cream, mm-hmm. which has licorice root, which is similar to Rogaine, but it's plant-based. Mm-hmm. So I'm finding that there's no toxicity. I do have some clients. My sister-in-law, in fact, is allergic to mint. But I am determined to formulate something that will grow her hair that does not contain mint. That is my latest undertaking.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking to Nina Walker of Nina's Organics, who has a line of various products that can help with issues around skincare, around health and hair care, all sorts of things. Nina Walker, what are some of the biggest misconceptions that people have about plant-based skincare and wellness?
A lot of them don't believe it's going to work. So when they come into my store, a lot of them come in there with bags filled with merchandise they bought from Bath and Body Works. Mm-hmm. I'm not knocking Bath and Body Works. I used to buy it, but it just doesn't work for me in my life right now. So now, then we've got to go through this education process. A lot of them are saying, well, I bought it, but I know I'm allergic to it. I can only use it for a few minutes because then it aggravates my allergies. Well, that means that you have an allergic reaction to some of the ingredients that are contained in that. Mm-hmm. It might be time to change it. So let me suggest this, and then I'll walk them through what the ingredients are, which everything in the store is plant-based. Mm-hmm. There is no water, alcohol, petroleum jelly, mineral oil, or preservatives. Mm-hmm. Without the preservatives, the shelf life of the products that I make is 3 years.
Mm, wow. So you mentioned having a store. So how can folks get a hold of your products? Are you physically located in a shopping center, a mall, or is this online? Or tell us where the majority of your business happens.
It's a combination of both. I do have an online presence, but I do have a physical brick and mortar located inside of the historic Baldwin Crenshaw Mall.
Okay.
On Crenshaw and King.
Okay. Wonderful. And if folks want to get a hold of your products and we have folks listening all over the country. So how can folks get a hold of your products, Miss Nina Walker?
They can find me online by going to ninasorganics.com. Let me spell Nina's because it's spelled different. Mm. It is N as in Nancy, E as in Edward, N as in Nancy, A S Organics.
Ninasorganics.com. And do you have a presence on Instagram or any other social media sites?
I do. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat. we don't do X. but on those, it's N as in Nancy, E, N as in Instagram, I'm sorry, N as in Nancy, E, N as in Nancy, A-S_ Organics.
Okay. Nina's_organics on Instagram.
Nina with an E.
Okay. N-E-N-A.
Correct.
Wonderful. Well, Nina Walker of Nina's Organics, thank you so much for coming in for Minority Business Monday and helping us to understand that there are alternative ways to deal with some of these ailments that we just sometimes assume it's just all about prescription medication. We have no other path, but it's important for us to start rethinking some of these things and learning how to deal with them with stuff that God put on the earth. I mean, imagine
Correct.
That.
Yes.
Well, thank you for coming in for Minority Business Monday. And we are going to take a very short break. You are listening to Radio Free 102.3 FM, KGLH. I am Dara Starr Tucker. This is The Front Page. This is Minority Business Monday. And we have two more minority business owners coming up for you today, right on the other side of this break.
This is The Front Page on Radio Free 102.3 KGLH.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Johnson. After a two-year search, my husband and I were determined to find the perfect contractor for our home improvement project. Our home is nearly 100 years old. It was falling apart, and I was in desperate need of a complete remodel. So we decided to call Jerome's SoCal Home Improvement. Initially, we were just looking for an estimate, but what we got was so much more. Jerome's attention to detail and his crew's exceptional work was amazing. They did a complete home retrofit and a lifetime exterior coating. We are beyond satisfied. Finally, we can rest easy knowing that our house is protected from any future damage. We highly recommend Jerome SoCal Home Improvement to anyone in need of top-notch home improvement services.
For 100% financing, call Jerome.
Call Jerome SoCal Home Improvement and ask for me, Jerome. 844-534-7336. 844-534-7336. Or log on to youknowmejerome.com.
Working smoke alarms can cut the risk of death from home fires in half. That's why the American Red Cross is rallying volunteers to sound the alarm. Save a life. Together, we're installing free smoke alarms in South Los Angeles at Crenshaw Christian Center on April 5th from 8 a.m. till 2 p.m. Red Cross services are available for all those in need, regardless of race, ethnicity, age, religion, gender identity, sexual orientation, ability, and citizenship status. Call 310-445-9914 to request a smoke alarm installation today.
Join us Palm Sunday, April 13th at Free Will Missionary Baptist Church when the Voices of Free Will presents a Palm Sunday musical with Gil Fierce from And the Gospel Classic featuring Dr. Lady Rose Neal, B. Terrell, and B2IP Choir, God's Elect, Dr. H.P. Rochelle Ecumenical Choir, Minister Wayne Anthony Roach, Kimberly Johnson, The Sensational Gospel NBZ, 3 p.m. Palm Sunday, April 13th at Free Will Missionary Baptist Church, 8323 South Figueroa, near Manchester Boulevard in L.A. It's gospel music and performance at its finest in honor of our Lord and Savior. Bring a friend. Be blessed by the music ministry of Dr. Lady Rose Neal, the B2IP Choir, and the Voices of Free Will. Happening Palm Sunday, April 13th, 3 o'clock at Free Will Missionary Baptist Church, 8323 South Figueroa in L.A., where Pastor W.D. Taylor III is senior pastor and Stephen McGlover is pastor emeritus. This is a free concert. Doors open at 2:15 p.m.
In a time when prices are high, money is tight, and the dollar is stretched to the max, you can't waste time looking for some place for auto repairs. You need to know the right place. And when it comes to maintenance for your Japanese car, the right place is Lex Service. Bring your Lexus, Toyota, Infiniti, Acura, Honda, and more for five-star service at prices lower than the dealership. Let their ACS-certified mechanics deliver on the promise of excellent service at affordable prices. And if you're in need of extended car repair, Lex Service offers free loaner cars. Plus, enjoy free Wi-Fi while you wait. Looking for a quick option? Lex Service is conveniently located in the South Bay. Give them a call at 310-517-0293. That's 310-517-0293. Let Lex Service take care of your car so you can get to your next destination safely. Lex Service.
Wake up, wake up.
This is the Front Page on Radio Free 102.3 KJLH. Here's Dara Star Tucker.
Well, good morning and welcome back to the Front Page. I am Dara Star Tucker, and this is Minority Business Monday. We are bringing in some of the best and brightest minority business owners to talk to us about what it is that they do. We love to reinvest into the community. We love to lift up those folks who are actually making a difference in their communities and who are reaching out to folks who are locally located and who are making sure that we keep these dollars running through our local communities. They provide an invaluable service, and we always love these days where we can lift you all up and emphasize the work that you do. We have as our next minority business owner, Miss Keisha Tarver of Hype Off Life magazine. Los Angeles bred creative and entrepreneur, Keisha M. Tarver has conquered many challenges that would cause most to fold. Raised during the height of the crack epidemic in South Central Los Angeles, she often found herself going hungry and was the subject of bullying, but remained optimistic, believing in light at the end of the tunnel. After relocating to View Park with her mom and grandmother in the mid-90s, life became brighter, and she excelled at Westchester and Crenshaw High Schools. It was also during that time that Keisha became pregnant during her senior year of high school and was forced with a decision to either sink or swim. With swimming being the only option, Keisha walked across the stage 9 months pregnant and went on to attend USC before ultimately graduating from Cal State Los Angeles magna cum laude. Since that pivotal moment in her life, Keisha has gone on to become a mother of five, serial entrepreneur, and inspiration to others chasing their dreams. Today, she finds herself the founder and CEO and editor-in-chief of Hype Off Life, an award-winning hip-hop and music culture magazine. In addition to sowing seeds of positivity through her work with Hype Off Life, Keisha is a published author and photographer, proving that it's not about the cards you're dealt, but it's all about how you play them. So welcome Keisha Tarver of Hype Off Life magazine to the front page.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here. I grew up listening to KJLH.
That's wonderful. Well, we're glad you're here. So growing up, Keisha, in South Central LA during the crack epidemic, what kept you optimistic despite the challenges that you faced?
Well, I grew up looking at a lot of hip hop and R&B. So the music videos, the culture of hip hop, it kept me going because it has an aspirational tone. So I just had a vision in mind that things would be better for me. And I just held on to that over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. As a serial entrepreneur, Keisha, what was your first business venture and what did it teach you?
Well, that's really funny because I own a magazine. So my first business venture, I used to collect Word Up and Write On Vibe magazines. Mm-hmm. So you know how they had the posters in there of like Immature and all the artists. So I would sell my posters, the 4-page poster. That was $1. The little page posters were like $0.25. So that was my first little business.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Well, how did your experience, you mentioned that you dealt with bullying a lot as a child. So how did that shape your perspective on resilience and on success?
Well, a lot of times, like when I was younger, people would make fun of my voice because of the way I talk. So that had an effect on me for a long time until I like found the strength to have self-confidence in my voice and know that that's what made me unique. And then like for a long time, I was bullied because I was overweight when I was younger. Mm-hmm. So that just made me more resilient, not to care what people think about me and just to just know who I am as a person and not go off of outside validation.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, talk to me about just you said you were 9 months pregnant, walking across the stage, graduating high school. And I can only imagine the challenges that that placed on you for being able to then go on to college. You went to USC, at least initially. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about what that experience was like, being pregnant in high school and being a new mother and transitioning right into college. I cannot even imagine.
Yeah, that whole time in my life was crazy. I got pregnant in like December of my senior year. It was with my boyfriend at the time. We were together since I was in 11th grade. So I got pregnant and I was trying to hide it because I didn't want people to know because I was like embarrassed because like it was like, how do you get pregnant in high school? So I was trying to hide it, but you can't hide being pregnant.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, they didn't say nothing to me about it, but they knew and they were cool about it. So I just kept going and it was like a tough time for me because I was still trying to do my schooling. And then I was confused, like scared, confused, all the emotions. But then I was like, either you're going to like do this or not do this. And I decided to do it and keep going. So I walked across the stage 9 months pregnant and like people were cheering for me like, yeah, you did it. Wow. So I had my son in July. Then I went to USC in August and I was like breastfeeding, feeding him, going to school, doing all this schoolwork. And I took chemistry because I wanted to be a kinesiology major so I could be a physical therapist or something in the medical field. So I took a lot of chemistry classes. I got an A in my chemistry class. Like I was really into it, but I was also raising my son at the time. So it was just hard juggling everything, but I just kept my vision in mind. Like things are going to get better for me.
Yeah.
And that's what kept me going, really.
That's incredible. Well, what was the moment? We're talking to Keisha Tarver here on 102.3 FM KJLH here on Minority Business Monday on the front page. Keisha, what was the moment that sparked the idea for your magazine, Hype Off Life? And did you kind of always envision yourself running a magazine?
That's funny, too, because I grew up looking at Living Single. And I was like, that's so cool. She owns a magazine. Oh, like, yeah. Wow, that's dope. But I used to be an underground hip-hop blogger. My name was West Coast Keish. So I spoke with a lot of emerging and underground artists. And during that time, I noticed that they would say, like, I'm dope. Like, why am I not featured on bigger platforms? Like, why isn't anybody showing me any love? Because I'm dope and my music's great and all of the things. And nobody would show them love. So when I was at Cal State LA my last year, I was thinking, like, what am I going to do when I graduate? I don't want a job because I'm an entrepreneur. Like, I'm a boss. Like, I don't want to work for anybody else. So I was like, maybe I should just turn my blog into a magazine. I already had the name because, like, I sit on domains. If I have a good idea, I'll buy the domain. So I had the domain Hype Off Life 2 years before I initially started it. And then while I was an underground hip-hop blogger, I was linking with this ad network, and they told me, you should change the name of your blog because people can't spell your name because nobody knows how to spell Keisha for some reason. So I was like, maybe I should turn West Coast Keisha into Hype Off Life. And that's what I did. It's basically the same thing. But, you know, some people say people don't support you when they know it's you. So it just blew up after that. It's still the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's better when there's a little bit of a disconnection and they can connect with a brand versus a human being. I know something about that. So hip hop is always changing. How do you kind of stay connected with the trends and make sure that this magazine stays relevant to what's going on in hip hop culture?
I believe my kids keep me relevant a lot. They'll tell me about artists I never knew of. Like my son, shout out Yes Mock. He told me about this artist named Jaleel. He told me about Blueface before he came out, AZ Chike. They tell me about all the new artists.
Yeah.
So it's a blessing to have had my kids so young. And then I also tap in on social media. So I learn about a lot of new artists that way. And my Spotify, it goes crazy. Like, 1 year, I listened to 84,000 hours of music.
Oh, my goodness.
So I use that as my discovery platform, my kids, word of mouth, social media, YouTube. So I like to stay tapped in. I'm like, if it's good, it'll find its way to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So is this a physical magazine? Is it online? How can folks find it?
It's print and digital, so you can go to hypeofflife.com and find it on there, and we ship, we deliver, all of that.
Wow, a physical magazine. Can you spell that out for us? Bobo always reminds us to spell it out. So can you let folks know how to find that website?
It's hypeofflife.com.
Okay, and I'm sure you're on social media.
Yes, it's Hype Off Life everywhere. On Instagram, TikTok, Threads, all of that.
Okay, Hype Off Life magazine. Keisha Tarver, thank you so much for joining us here on the front page to talk about your hip-hop magazine. I mean, it's a really cool thing that you're able to do this not only digitally, but in print. That's quite an accomplishment in 2025. So thank you so much for being a part of Minority Business Monday here on the front page. And the best of success to you. Well, our final business owner this morning is Felicia the Poetess Morris of Morris Media Studios. And I'm told by our producer, Danny Morrison, that she is a legend among us. Introducing Felicia, the poetess Moore, as a trailblazing figure in the world of radio and entertainment. All right.
Good morning. Good morning. I love your voice, by the way. I was listening on my way in.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm a little bit hoarse. I had a show yesterday, and so I'm a little bit hoarse this morning, but thank you so much.
You sound good.
I appreciate it. Your remarkable journey began at the tender age of 5 when you made your radio debut on KDIA AM, a renowned soul station in the San Francisco Bay Area under the guidance of your father, the esteemed disc jockey and broadcast engineer, Johnny Morris. In 2014, Felicia ventured into entrepreneurship, establishing Morris Media Studios, located in the historic Leimert Park of Los Angeles. This professional podcast and voiceover studio stands as a testament to Felicia's entrepreneurial spirit. Her client roster, past and present, reads like a who's who of influential figures, including Miss Kathy Hughes, Tiffany Haddish, Councilman Marquise Harris Dawson, Lunell, comedian Earthquake, and J. Anthony Brown. Felicia, the poetess Morris, a visionary force in radio and media, continues to inspire and innovate, leaving an indelible mark on the industry and the community that she serves. So welcome, Felicia, the poetess Morris, to the front page.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So glad that you're here. Now, your radio debut was just at 5 years old, you
yes.
said. What was that experience like, and how did that kind of shape your love for broadcasting?
Well, my dad was a on-air personality, a disc jockey back then at KDIA. And so he had me come in to record some promos, and I was so shy. I think it took him about an hour to get me to say, KDIA, Lucky 13, can you dig it? And just being around my dad, who, by the way, used to be the engineer here at KJLH some years ago, just being around him inspired me to want to be in the entertainment business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What sort of lessons did you learn from your dad, Johnny Morris?
The main thing that always sticks with me that he says is how you go in is how you end up. So how you go into business, a business relationship, is pretty much determines how you come out of it.
Interesting. Yeah. Very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Elaborate on that for me, because if you don't go in
handling your business in the beginning, it could end up not so well. Like if you go in prepared and knowing what you want and getting a good deal for yourself, really kind of dictates your exit plan as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you grew up in the Bay Area. I just find anyone who grows up in the Bay Area, I think at least up to a certain point, maybe through the 90s, mm-hmm. you'll have just such a rich cultural experience. The
yes.
Bay Area is just unlike any other place
yes.
In the world, I think. So there's a rich musical radio scene. Who were some of your biggest inspirations growing up in the Bay Area in media and entertainment?
Well, definitely my dad. And his good friend and mentor was Sly Stone, because a lot of people don't know that Sly Stone was actually a radio personality before
yeah.
he became a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent most of my adult life here in Los Angeles. So I was inspired just, again, being around my dad and being around the music industry in the late 80s, early 90s. And so I would say the main person I was inspired by was my dad, Johnny
yeah,
Morris.
Absolutely. So you've been in radio for decades.
Yes.
How has the industry evolved since you first started out?
Well, radio has made quite a few transformations since I've been in. I've been in traditional radio and then satellite radio, and now we have internet and podcasting. So I've been, you know, open to all those transformations. Now, especially podcast, I think my last professional radio gig probably was about 12 or 13 years ago. And I decided after that I was going to venture into podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
It opened the doors for a lot of people who probably couldn't get jobs on the air
mm-hmm.
and kind of was able to curate their own programming and things like that. So I saw radio going in this direction 10, 15 years ago almost.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, podcasting has just blown the doors wide open for so many people. And a lot of these podcasters are getting so many more ears on
yes.
what they're doing, even
and
in
money.
Terrestrial radio. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
money as well. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what inspired you to launch Morris Media Studios? We're talking with Felicia Morris of Morris Media Studios. What inspired you to launch that in the first place?
Well, my father and I had built a studio for a client, and I managed it for about just maybe under a year. And I thought to myself, I can do this, you know, with my father and the experience I have in radio, I can do a studio much better than the one I'm managing, because the person who owned the studio really didn't have the vision. I think he was more so, he had money to do it. So I think he wanted to just say, hey, I have a studio, but he didn't really have vision. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, you know what? I'm going to take the leap of faith. I took my last paycheck. I did crowdfunding campaigns, and a few friends supported me, and I just started it. And here we are 10 years later. It wasn't easy, because a lot of people, even back then, didn't understand podcasting or what we were doing, because it wasn't that popular 10, 11 years ago.
Right, right.
So now everybody's doing a podcast, and we've been able to, you know, sustain a really nice professional studio. But I was inspired too, because I didn't want to work for anyone anymore.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of do my own thing. I felt I had the experience to do it. I had already been in radio over 20 years and the clientele, so...
Yeah. Who are some of the most interesting folks that you've had the chance to talk to interview in the process of starting your own media company?
Well, I don't really interview a lot of people because I'm actually running the studio, but we've had some very interesting clients come through and do their podcast. As you mentioned, the few there, but I really love the fact that community people are able to come in and have a voice and amplify their voices. I was just saying in the meeting room that, you know, we have a lot of senior citizens that come in and have something to say. And now we're working on a youth program. So it's and I'm in Leimert Park. So I always say there's no other place I'd rather be than in Leimert Park to give the community a voice.
Yeah, absolutely. What is some of the advice that you would give other folks who are trying to kind of do what it is you're doing? I mean, like you said, everybody's got a podcast these days, but in terms of establishing kind of a larger, you know, media platform, something that has more of a scope than just like, hey, I've got an SM7B or whatever, and I'm just talking. What's some of the basic advice that you can give folks about how to kind of get something a little more substantial off the ground?
Know your why. Why are you doing a podcast? What is your purpose for doing one? Yeah, it's a cool thing to say, hey, I have a podcast. But podcasts take time and money and commitment. So if you're going to put your time and money into it, you really have to have a goal and a reason for doing one, whether that's to inspire people, to educate them, to entertain them. But there should really be a purpose. And to know your audience, you can't really be everything to everyone. So you figure out what your lane is and you go for it. A lot of times when people are doing a podcast, the listener is thinking, if they're going to sit there for 30 minutes or an hour, however long your podcast is, they're thinking, what's in it for me? Like, why am I going to sit here and listen to you for 30 minutes? So you got to have a reason why people want to tap in, whether that's something that they can relate to, be inspired by, or get some information that could help them. But you have to make your podcast less about you and more about your listener and knowing who your listener or your audience is.
Yeah. And what do you hope your contribution is? I mean, you know, a lot of podcasts, we keep saying, what do you hope that your specific contribution will be in this landscape?
It's giving people a platform to express themselves, to amplify their voices, having accessibility to do those things. A lot of times you can't just roll up into a KJLH or a major network and speak your mind. Mm-hmm. So I think is giving people accessibility to express themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to ask before we end our conversation, mm-hmm. you are Felicia the Poetess Morris. So mm-hmm. what's the Poetess about?
I was a recording artist in the early 90s. I was actually on Interscope with Tupac and Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch and Gerardo. So yeah, I was a recording artist and poet.
Wow.
A lifetime ago.
Wow. Is there music that we can find out there on you?
Yeah. In fact, I, a few years ago, digitized my album. It's called Simply Poetry, and it's out there now, and you can use it on TikTok and all the social media platforms. So, yeah.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, where can folks go to find out more about your media empire?
You can go to morrismediastudios.com. We are all things podcast. If you are new to podcasting, we help you get set up. We coach you. We edit. We also do audiobooks and voiceover. So we are a full service professional podcast studio located in Leimert Park, 4309 Crenshaw. You just have to call and make an appointment. And our number there is 323-815-4204.
Okay, give us that number one more time.
323-815-4204. And it's morrismediastudios.com.
Okay, and do you have a Instagram or other social
media? Yes. The studio is at Morris Media Studios. And me, I'm at OG Poetess and thepoetess.com.
Okay, OG Poetess and Morris Media Studios on Instagram.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Felicia, the Poetess Morris.
Thank you.
For joining us here at KGLH. I know you have a lot of history. Your family has a lot of history here.
Yes.
So we're glad to have this full circle moment.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, you have been listening to another Minority Business Monday. We always love these mornings where we can celebrate small business owners, particularly minority business owners, with all of the attacks on DEI that we are experiencing these days. We are uplifting and celebrating minority business owners here in the community. If you would like to be considered for a feature on Minority Business Money Monday, reach out to our producer, Danny Morrison. Danny, I'm going to let you give them your email address.
dmorrison@kjlhradio.com.
Can you spell Morrison for us?
D-M-O-R-R-I-S-O-N. There's a Morrison here with me, but I am Morrison, dmorrison @kjlhradio.com.
So there are two R's and one S.
That's right.
In Morrison. Reach out to him at dmorrison@kjlhradio.com if you would like to have your business featured on Minority Business Monday. I'm Dara Starr Tucker. You have been listening to The Front Page here on Radio Free 102.3 FM KJLH. I'm looking forward to doing this with you all once again at the same time and in the same place tomorrow. And until then, you all do take care of yourselves and each other.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or positions of this station or its management.
This has been The Front Page.
Views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Taxi Productions or Radio Free 102.3 KJLH.
Thanks for joining us.